Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call, December 9th, 2014. I have an exceptional call for you, a topic I have never covered on this call that is part of my upcoming book, The Anger Factor. And it is, I have some great content for you on guilt, shame, resentment, and letting go of constant worry. So I have a great call for you tonight. It'll give you some great insight into the cause and effect of why we do what we do. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and we'll move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I want to thank last week's guest, Alexis Romano. We had a near record amount of downloads after the call last Tuesday, on Wednesday. So I want to thank Alexis for exceptional content. And for those of you who did not hear the call, you can hear it recorded on calls, calls.goldenmastermind.com. And at the end of that recording, Alexis also gives you some great content on how you can receive some of her training system. For those of you who are on tonight's call and have brand new members on the call, thank you for bringing them to the call. I'm going to have some great calls before the year wraps up. And in 2015, I have some outstanding, inspirational guests for the call. This coming Saturday, the following Saturday, December 20th, that will be All She Wrote for Me for 2014. I will have spoken 47 times, flown over 155,000 air miles, and had the privilege of connecting with many of you on tonight's call. I will fire it all back up in 2015. My first event will be January 10th in Pleasanton, California. January 15th, which is a Thursday, will be in Palm Springs, California, at the biannual Millionaire Blueprint event with Alexis Romano and Susan Sly. That is a four-hour event. Now, we had about 750 tickets. There are about 100 tickets left for that event. So if you want to get one of those tickets, you can go to www.goldenmastermind.com. And daily on Facebook, I do promote that website and where to buy a ticket. Tickets are $20, and you will not be able to get a ticket at the door. It will be sold out before the first of the year. Also, if you are serious about hiring me to be your coach at the first of the year, I will be changing my rates. If you want to get hold of me directly and take advantage of that before January 1st, you can reach me at 209-932-0227, and I will be taking calls for a half hour after this call. And then I'll be moving right into in January. I'll be finishing January off in Philadelphia on the 24th and El Paso on the 31st. There are five Saturdays in January. February 7th, I'll be in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I just added Los Angeles, actually Marina Del Rey, February 14th. And that is February 7th, I'll be in St. Louis. And I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut in March, Weehawken, and many, many events next year. I have most of my calendar filled in through the month of May. If you would like me to speak at one of your events, feel free to contact me via Facebook. My email address is jeff@goldenmastermind.com. If you have not sent me a connection on LinkedIn, feel free to do that. I'm accepting LinkedIn connections and starting to use LinkedIn more frequently. And I'm going to now, I have a new project that I'm going to be launching in 2015. One of my main purposes and one of my main convictions is assisting people to overcome their feelings that keep them stuffing their feelings and being and staying addicted, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, any multitude of addictions. But I'm going to be centralizing and focusing on the number one addiction in the world, food addiction. I'll be hosting two live events next year and a breakthrough forum specifically to address your feelings that keep you stuffing them, and then using food as a byproduct to stay overwhelmed, to stay resentful, to stay in guilt and shame. And I will address the causes that creates the effect of the most common commonality, food addiction. Right around the first of the year, either the last Saturday or the first Saturday of 2015, I'll be hosting a two-hour webinar with three special guests who will be assisting me to facilitate my two events next year on breakthroughs to success, letting go of stuffed feelings. I'll host two of those events along with my other four breakthroughs to success events, and that is going to be an absolutely groundbreaking event. I'll be giving more details out on that as we move into the end of the year, and I will will promote the webinar that I'll host either the last Saturday or the first Saturday of January, the last Saturday of December, the first Saturday of January. And with that, I'm going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. As I stated earlier, the content that I'm going to share tonight is from my upcoming book, The Anger Factor. This is not a book that I will be self-publishing. I purchased an agent and am absolutely shopping this book. My ghostwriter is assisting me with some world-class content on digging into the depths of cause and effect of anger, unresolved anger, overwhelmed feelings, and the emotional addictions we create to stay overwhelmed and disappointed. Tonight, I'm going to be covering a very, very delicate topic that many people live their life in, unaware of why they do what they do. They continue to perpetuate the same set of feelings, and then these are the people, unfortunately, that end up tiptoeing quietly through life, and they die the greatest pain, the pain of regret. This call is dedicated to everyone on tonight's call who spends way too much of their time worrying. How many of you are chronic worriers? How many of you are so worried about the future, you spend more time worrying about how not to fail than learning how to spend your energy succeeding? It's a very common commonality that you get overwhelmed and worry about what you can't control, then you control what you control, being and staying disappointed. Guilt and shame, the lowest transmutation of energy in the vibrational frequency of how we send a message or a mixed message. And if you have been guilted into submission, or you have been shamed into situations from your past, if you've been traumatized on the playground, you were picked on by a series of bullies, if you grew up with aggressive parents, passive-aggressive parents, or you grew up in a household or a situation where there's violence, codependence, or any other kind of addiction, there's a high probability that's affected your emotional state. The emotions that will affect us traditionally are going to be anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. There's a correlation not only between guilt and shame, but the correlation between guilt, shame, and resentment. Now, if you grew up in a situation, or it doesn't have to be your parents, it can be any multitude of events, because it's not only the events that shape our feelings, and feelings become a mood, and mood becomes our identity, and our identity actually can become a component of our personality. And if you have been guilted into submission, or you have been, or guilt has been used to control you, and you feel guilty all the time, then you will have challenges asking, receiving, and deserving. You will create stories around the stories you state to yourself about how you don't want to offend anyone, how you don't want to bother anyone. I know you're really busy. That's a very common term, people that live in guilt. I know you're really busy, so I didn't want to bother you. I'll only take a minute of your time. I'm sorry for calling you. When you use these kinds of terms, you are telegraphing your uncomfortable feelings based on feelings of guilt and or shame that can lead to overwhelmed feelings. This also can lead to the cortisol connection, where your body stays in fight or flight, worried about a future outcome that has not happened. You tiptoe around and use terms like this, eggshells and pins and needles. I had to walk around pins and needles in my household. We had to walk on eggshells because we never knew when our father might lose his composure and throw tonight's dinner out in the yard. I mean, I have had the privilege of coaching over 9,000 clients. That equates to over 50,000 plus hours of one-on-one personal mentoring and coaching, assisting people to understand cause and effect, why you do what you do. If you continue to do the same situation over and over, if you create the same result, if you attract the same people to your circle of influence, you're in a leveraged business, you have a business from the comfort of your home, you require clients, customers, teammates, people in a circle of influence in your database, and you continue to attract the same kind of people that put you in a position that you feel guilty, don't feel comfortable, you come from low self-esteem, you're living in shame from pain from events from the past, then you'll continue to send a very mixed, low vibrational signal. You'll attract the same situation over and over, people in situations to fulfill the feelings of guilt, shame, and then the other side of it, resentment. Now, if you grew up in a family where you had a tyrannical mother, grandmother, and it's very common that it's that, it can also be an aggressive parent or an aggressive father. If you grew up with alcoholism in a family and there was passive-aggressive tendencies and you had to walk on these eggshells, then you had to be careful about what you said. You had to be careful not to upset someone. You had to explain, validate, and justify your existence. This can also cause shame. It can create the feelings of very low self-esteem, and then you tiptoe quietly through life, not wanting to upset anyone. You feel guilty about making a phone call, guilty about being too pushy, guilty about asking for a commitment, and then what you tend to do is you will invite and share and never really get clear on who you are, what is required of you to be and stay successful. You'll stay in an overwhelmed state worrying. If you are a chronic worrier, and I devoted an entire chapter to the chronic worrier in my best-selling book, The Procrastination Cure. If you're either a chronic worrier or grew up with people that were chronic worriers, there's a high probability of anxiety about the future. That anxiety about the future gives you an overwhelmed state that keeps you avoiding failing. That's what you say to yourself, I don't want to fail. But what you fail to understand is that you fail while you're failing to engage. And you are missing out on life. You're waiting for the perfect, mythical, magical moment that never really happens. The tooth fairy never shows up. The success fairy never shows up. You live and stay in that overwhelmed, safe, disappointed space. Then you feel guilty about not acting on the opportunity. Then you see other people succeeding. Then you feel resentful. And you wonder where they came out of the cobwebs, how they became an overnight success. And then you feel resentful. Now, I'm going to really break this down for you. So when you get off this call, you have a better awareness of cause and effect and why you do what you do. My brilliance is really being able to assist people, not how to close a sale, not how to build a culture, but I'm the addiction coach. I've been called the millionaire coach, and I have had many of my students that have gone on to be successful, and a few of them have achieved the status of millionaire. But where I really assist people is the beginning. If you don't understand cause, then you will live in the effect. As a recovering addict and alcoholic myself, I spent a good deal of my life in unresolved anger. I manifested a migraine headache that lasted several years. I eventually learned that I could not let go of that headache by simply going to the chiropractor and getting my neck adjusted, getting a series of massages, or going to the gym and working out. I could forget about the headache for a short period of time through exercise, but I would end up going to bed at night grinding my teeth. I had the TMJ syndrome, where I put undue pressure on myself that was not real. Pressure is really your own control. And I was so in control of my control that I was out of control, controlling my control, creating a syndrome called TMJ, tension mandibular joint. And that's what I had, and I would grind my teeth. And I wasn't just worried. I wasn't guilty and shame. I had a lot of unresolved issues from my past that created my resentment and my anger. And then I also would feel guilty because I wasn't good enough. I couldn't break through. And I'd exhaust myself getting exhausted, overwhelmed in my brilliance with all my ideas that someday mythically, magically were going to come to fruition, and I would rescue myself and my family. And that was a story I told myself. My family didn't require being rescued. I didn't require being rescued. I required understanding cause and effect of why I did what I did. As I began to learn, letting go became a more common way of life. Letting go is also illusion, because letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. You let go by deciding, not knowing how to. Letting go is not a how-to exercise. Letting go is a very simple equation called letting go. Letting go is letting go. There's nothing to let go of because you don't control anything physically. It's all emotionally. What you're holding on to and hanging on to, your guilt and your shame and your unresolved worrying, is a myth, because there's really nothing to worry about because it hasn't happened. Worrying is an undue exercise in futility that keeps the brain occupied doing nothing, thinking you're busy when you're really being non-productive, because it'll eventually lead to guilt. You'll feel bad about what you didn't do. You'll get overwhelmed, have challenges resting. Then you'll require some kind of outside sedative or substance to stuff the feelings, i.e. the key to an addiction is understanding your emotional state. The more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the less likely you are to go back into a denial state. I have had the privilege of assisting many people who have crossed the bridge of success, yet success also contradicts their struggle. They get so overwhelmed worrying about their struggle, feeling guilty about what they might do, what they didn't do, how they weren't perfect enough, wondering how they're going to control the control of their future success, that they tend to relapse and stuff their feelings. The number one situation that people relapse is not on on sedatives, not on medication, not on Ambien, Adderall, not on alcohol, scotch, bourbon, vodka, gin, rum, or tequila, but food. Food is the absolute toxic killer that keeps people stuffed and overwhelmed. Guilt and shame are the most common commonalities that lead to the stuffed feelings that you overwhelm yourself, and then you require something else to stuff that feeling down. But as you start to understand cause and effect, the events, not only the events, the perception of the event, why you do what you do. When you begin to let go of all the how-tos, how-to will never get you to the land of promise. When you understand why, cause and effect, and you have a why bigger than your problem, then you have a higher probability of letting go of the control that keeps you feeling the same feelings of guilt, shame, worry, overwhelmed, and control. And this leads to these feelings, NGE, the not good enough syndrome. If you live a large percent of your life not good enough, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings to be and stay disappointed. This is not that difficult to master. You learn to master your emotional state. You do not require therapy. You do not require me. I would be honored to be your coach, but you can also be a great coach. I would be an absolute asset to your reality and assist you to have a better understanding, not only of how to sell, market, brand, but how to understand your team. Because the team you attract will be a direct reflection of your feelings. When you feel guilt and shame, you'll continue to attract people either at that equal low vibrational state or people even beneath it. You'll attract the beneath of the beneath to fulfill your feelings of guilt and shame. You'll be guilty while you're attracting other guilt seekers to stay guilty. Guilt is the lowest transmutation of emotional etheric energy. It really takes you, when you're in guilt, you're right back in the soup. You're right back lost in the sauce, overwhelmed in your emotional addictive state, wondering why you can't get anywhere. Now, what's interesting about people who live in guilt, they oftentimes become good employees. They can become good employees because they can march to the tune of others, and they'll comply. They'll move right along, oftentimes being underpaid, overwhelmed, and then resentful they're not getting compensated what they are worth. And if you are someone who's an angry giver, this is also one of my chapters in my book, The Procrastination Cure. If giving is your identity, and how many of you can be candid and honest, you've been conditioned to give. Now let's break giving down. Giving unequivocally, there are many times when giving is spiritual. Giving can also give you a great sense of satisfaction. Better to give than receive, a very common commonality, a statement that you've probably heard many, many times. However, if you really break that statement down, giving should have its own foothold, but so should receiving. You should be a great receiver, equally as good at receiving as you are giving. Giving is also noble, but why is receiving not so noble? There's a lot of guilt about being wealthy. When you actually step out of the status quo, when you leave the sheep pen and the cattle pen, and you step into the jungle, when you live the cow pasture, and if you become a developing rhino and you're married to a cow, that can be a challenge, because oftentimes that cow will use guilt to control you. How dare you leave the cow pen? You have moved into the jungle. Don't you understand you're going to get devoured in there? Don't you understand you're leaving us behind? And you look around and say, hey, I'm not leaving you behind. You are choosing to stay where you are. You can't let other guilt seekers guilt you into staying guilty. And if you allow guilt seekers, people who live and stay in guilt, or people who live in a very low vibrational energy shame, if you allow these people to continue to affect your emotional state, then you will either resent them or resort back to being guilty with them, and you'll resent them anyway. You have to learn to let go of your control of the feelings that keep you in control of being in an addicted emotional state that keeps you overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed creates an energetic vibration that takes you to the top of the elevator. You have a little juice from dopamine, then the bottom falls out and you're back in the shadow after the elevator in cortisol, overwhelmed, wondering why you are where you are. I just can't figure it out. I just don't know what to do. Well, that's what you say to stay addicted. That's addict talk. And when you get real honest and real candid, when you start to read the book Codependent No More, The Handbook of Free Enterprise, when you read Chapter 4 and Chapter 8, and you learn not to get so angry or upset with why you are where you are, when you learn to become objective, when you let go of all these things you've heard about being positive, you have to be positive. Well, positive is great, but I'd much rather be objective, because if I'm objective, I'm in the space between positive and negative. Positive puts a lot of pressure on you to be and stay positive all the time. That's not possible, because here's why. You have been conditioned to repress your anger. And if you repress your anger, then you're in an unresolved anger. You can even feel guilty about being angry, or you can be guilty about being guilty. And if you live in this emotional state, it's going to be very challenging for you to have an attractor factor conducive to attracting people who are relaxed, collaborative, spiritual, emotional, people who can connect, people who have circles of influence. And everyone you're going to encounter has emotional challenges. It's not a perfect end game, but you want to be very skilled at your emotional state. Being able to master your emotional state unequivocally is a skill. When you can feel yourself in a familiar feeling and not let yourself get overwhelmed in it. When your melt down is really a melt up, you catch yourself melting down and you bring yourself right back up. That means you had an M-I-N-I, mini, small. You had a small breakdown, not M-A-N-Y, many breakdowns. And if you're one of these people that chronically relapses, and the most chronic relapse is in food, and food is a different type of addiction, but it's the same situation. Stuffed feelings in an overwhelmed body, sneaking and hiding. One of the biggest challenges about being an addict is you become a pathological liar. You may not lie to everyone, but you're probably lying to yourself. And if you're one of these people that's an addict, you're going to be sneaking your addiction around. You'll sneak food in. You'll take the wrappers out. If you're an alcoholic, you'll sneak the bottles in. You'll sneak them out. If you're a pill popper, you'll be screwing around with the cardboard boxes. You'll be cutting up the pill bottles, flushing them down the toilet. You'll flush pills down the toilet and go back out and buy more pills, because how can I be so stupid I flush my stash away? This is the kind of control that keeps you in control of being out of control, of the control that keeps you overwhelmed. Then you feel guilty for how much time you spent, how much time you burnt, how much time you spent in your head. A whole day goes by. You thought you were doing something. You went to the grocery store. You bought your stash. You went to the gym and worked out because you're figuring out how you're going to do your stash later. You do a little prospecting by walking around in the mall. You don't really talk to anyone, but you look at people. You plan how you plan your plan. I'm going to plan to talk to this person when I have my plan down. And when my plan's down, I'm going to write it down. Then one day I'm going to buy Alexis Romano's system. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to get me that $47 system. I'm going to learn that whiteboard system. Yes, indeed, that's what I'm going to plan. But, you know, right now I'm too overwhelmed. I got to take the edge off. I got to sit down and have a piece of creme brulee. Yeah, that's it. I'll splurge. I'll put it on my credit card. I don't really have any money, but I'll put it on my credit card. And then after that, yeah, that's what I'll do. I better have a double shot of espresso, and then, man, I got a little too tweaked. I better take the edge off. I better get me a double shot of Crown and a Dixie cup where no one can see me. That's what I'll do. I'll buy me a little flask. Then I'll go home and prospect. Well, now I got a buzz. I can't do that. I'm a little too high. I got to find something to take myself up. I got to get me a puppy upper. Since I just had a doggy downer. This is addict talk. This is how an addict talks to themselves all day long, staying in an emotional addiction. You can have a real high. Oh my God, this is going to be the day. Oh, this is it, baby. This is my day. This is my day. My attractor factor is high, but I got to get a little stimulation. I got to have some breakfast this morning. You know, I'm going to skip my shake and I'm going to have a little breakfast. Then I'm going to get on the phone. I'll put it on the floor. I'll sit on. I'll do a little prospecting. Well, you know what? I better practice up my script. This is addict talk, and this is what happens. Then by the end of the day, you realize you burned the entire freaking day being addicted. Then you feel guilt and shame. And if that is you, it is definitely time to let go. There are many faces of guilt. If you're 50% of society and you've been violated and you went into an outer body experience and you've never really rectified that situation, and you view food to stuff your feelings, to put that body armor to keep yourself safe and keep yourself separate, there's a high probability that you will feel guilty about that. Sometimes you will protect your perpetrator, you'll protect yourself. You'll do whatever you've got to do to stay guilty. Guilt keeps you safe. It keeps you in a very unevolved emotional state where you just keep feeling bad. If you're addicted to disappointment, you spend a lot of your time worrying about your worry. You're not sure how you're going to pull it off. You burn your most valuable commodity time consistently. Then you're going to be in an overwhelmed state. How do you stop the insanity? I mean, that really becomes the question. Well, you have to take a good look at why you do what you do. And if you're in this kind of state, then you're just going to be procrastinating. So my anger book fuels right into my procrastination book, because typically when you're in an overwhelmed emotional state, you burn your most valuable commodity time. The greatest theme of most people's career is how they burn their time. They focus on staying busy. They spend more time worrying about not failing. Why should you worry about failing? I ask this question frequently. What is the value of worrying? There isn't any. And if there's no value to worrying, why do you worry? Here's why. You worry about what you can't control. You can control being disappointed, so you'll stay disappointed. You don't really know that's what the outcome that you're going to get, but that is typically the outcome you seek. You're going to figure it out. You check out, and you spend a lot of time in your head. You get ready to get ready. You plot and plan. You figure out how it's all going to go out. You put your scripts together, you start to practice on saying the right thing, the perfect scenario. You got to create it all in your head, and you're paralyzed because you can't get off the dime. You have ideals and goals and dreams, and you have passion about picking up the $1,000 and the $10,000 bills and the $5,000 bills and mythically, magically in this intoxicated emotional dopamine state, how you're way out in the future of all these big things you're going to do, but really deep down inside, you're really, really scared. You're scared about how you're really going to pull it off. You've had a job your entire life, or you've been managed, dictated to, told what to do, and you're addicted emotionally to explaining, validating, and justifying your existence. You talk too much. You get overwhelmed. And this type of situation leads to very low self-esteem. What is high self-esteem? It's not high self-esteem. It's really healthy self-esteem. Self-esteem means that you are comfortable with who you are. You're comfortable with what you're becoming. You're comfortable with where are you going. You're comfort-able. It means you are you and you are free. When you are you and you are free, there's no separation between you and the results. There's no separation between you and the emotional state of joy, love, peace, bliss, and enlightenment. When you're separated, then you're in a very low vibrational emotional state and a very low wave particle sending out a mixed message that says, please violate me. Please show up and disappoint me. Please come over here and seduce me into believing that you and I are going to have a long-term relationship when I really know that you're going to leave me. And when you've been guilted into be a codependent rather than independent, and you're an addicted enabler, and you spend a great deal of your time taking care of other people, when you're an addicted rescuer and enabler, I realize some of that is not black and white, because some of the way you were conditioned to behave, you were required to do that. You did what you had to do, but because that became your identity and became a component of your neurological network, and you haven't been able to separate yourself from the events, and the events that you hold on to and the way you perceive them are what create your identity. And when you live in this overwhelmed, guilt-ridden space, you're codependent, you're going to attract other codependents to fulfill your disappointment. And you can actually have some success in that, because there's a personality that's a producer and a codependent. That would be me. I'm an addict and codependent in recovery of both situations, and they're not two different addictions of the same addiction. And even though I have sobriety in one, I relapsed in the other, so I have a better understanding of why I am codependent, why I set people up to disappoint me. Now, if you're addicted to that situation, or it's a commonality, it means you attract someone into your circle of influence, you start to paint a picture for them that's bigger than where they are, you're not meeting the person where they are, you're virtually setting themselves up to disappoint you. And if you're worried how they're going to pull it off and you start doing things for them, you start giving them money, you start doing too many things for them, and well, you're setting them up to disappoint you. And that's often where the romance goes sideways, because they feel your control while you're trying to control their control, and then you're both out of control, and then one of you leaves the relationship because you can already tell it's going to be dysfunctional. And this is how you set yourself up to be disappointed. And if you're one of these people that has a bleeding heart, and there's good qualities in that. Bleeding heart doesn't always mean it's a negative situation. It means you feel so much for others. It means that you're overly empathic. And not only are you empathic, not only do you feel people's pain, but you take people's pain on. There's actually people that go out and seek to rescue people because it fulfills their biochemical craving, their addicted state of codependence. And if that is you, there's a high probability that your adrenal system is going to get worn down, your immune system and your lymphatic system, because you're in an overwhelmed state. You're caretaking, worrying, and you're an over-obligating. Now, are you an addicted over-obligator? It means you say yes to everything. Then eventually you feel resentful of how many situations you take on. You're Superman, you're Superwoman, and you say yes, 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 and you don't know diplomatically how to tell someone that you can't. And just recently, I experienced some of that myself. Breakthroughs to Success, this event in December, is the largest Breakthroughs I've ever hosted. I turned down over 21 people that wanted to attend this event because it loses its intimacy if there's too many people in it. Yet I felt feelings of guilt. Oh, I'm denying someone a breakthrough. Well, in actuality, there's one in February. There's one in June, there's one in September, there's one in December, and scarcity creates value. Sometimes I get emotionally intoxicated in my own codependent state where I want to empower people, rescue people, put them in a position to break through. I've had to learn this term, boundary, B-O-U-N-D-R-Y, and the plural of it is boundaries, meaning dedicated blocks of time to areas of production. I also have areas of charity that I devote to, blocks of time where I do that, where I give service work to addicts and alcoholics and people in recovery. But I can't be 24/7. I used to be Delta, Delta, Delta. Let me help you, help you, help you. Call me anytime. I'll give you the shirt off my back. Hey, my store's open 24/7, baby. Just call me up. I'm the rescuer. I'm Ronnie the rescuer. That used to be me. I used to be the King Kong and Queen Kong of rescuing. 1-800-RESCUE-YOU, because that fulfilled my low self-esteem. I could inflate my dopamine and go, wow, I'm really doing great service out there in the world while I'm being broke. I'm giving my time away. Well, there's, once again, it's not a black and white world. It's important that you do service for people. It's important that you give value. It's important that you have fanfare for the common man. It's important that you pull over on the side of the road and assist someone that has a flat tire or situations like that. It's important that you do civic duties and service goods. It's important that you open doors for women and children and elders and salute the flag and be a good old-fashioned red-blooded American. It's important that you give blood and do things in situations. It's not a black and white world, but you can't have an identity that's addicted to giving and be able to expect to receive. You have to find balance in the equation. That's why you have to let go of your guilt. You have to also understand the role of guilt that's played in the American economy. Only a small percent of the population ever breaks through and becomes successful. And successful is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. But when it comes to the laws that govern money, only a small percent of the population has all of the wealth. The net worth of America, only 1/20th of 1% of the population has a net worth of $1 million or more. That doesn't mean that people make $1 million in a calendar year. That's an even smaller percent of population. But the average American that is a millionaire is a very, very small percent. That's a principle based called the law of the few. Now, if you are one of the success seekers, someone who really aspires to do something with their life, empower others, be able to teach, coach, speak, empower, write, brand, blog, whatever it is you want to do. If you're one of these people, you're a success seeker, you're spiritually inclined, and you really want to do good for mankind, especially fanfare for the common man, meaning you really want to go out there and assist and empower other people, then you are in the minority. And so there's a large percent of the population that's going to criticize you for the emotional, intestinal fortitude and courage to do what others won't so you can assist other people that don't. And if you're one of these kinds of people, you have to toughen up and stiffen up because people are going to be used guilt to control you. And if you have been conditioned to be guilted, there's a high probability that you will have guilt about breaking through. And you will tend to sabotage yourself just when you're about to reach out for the prize. And you're also going to find something out about success just like I did. I found out that success wasn't nearly as exciting as I thought it would be. I thought there was this magical, mythical finish line where I'd get a B and stay successful. I remember early in my speaking career, I thought all the big companies would come knocking on my door. After a real quick dose of reality, my first year I only spoke 6 times, I realized that for me to be a professional speaker, I had to build my own database. I built my original speaking career around my coaching business, and from day one, I've practically had at least a 6 to 8 week waiting list, as much as 12 to 16 weeks. So I've always been an exceptional coach, but speaking was a whole different equation, and I realized that for me to deliver the message, I had to have a circle of influence to be able to attract. And my attractor factor began to change the more I understand quantum physics, quantum leaps, neuroscience, cause and effect, why we do what we do, how we stay in an addicted and emotional state, and most importantly, the two key words to freedom, letting go. Letting go isn't physical. It's non-linear. It's not something that you do. It's who you be. You're practicing the art of letting go, which isn't physical. It's not a how-to. People ask me every day at least 100 times, how do I? How do I? How do I? How do I? How do you? It's not how do you. It's why do you? The more you understand why you do what you do, the higher the probability that you can let go. Guilt and shame, where does it come from? Guilt and shame comes from a multitude of situations. Guilt and shame are emotions. They're the lowest transmutational energy that we send a signal. Energy is measured in waves, cycles per second. The lowest transmutation of energy in anxiety is guilt and shame. If you went through a situation where you were traumatized, picked on, molested, abandoned, or neglected, you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, you were a slow learner, any multitude of situations, your whole body language can give off a series of feelings that telegraphs that you've been victimized, that you live in shame. And if you live in these type of feelings and you grow up to be an adult and you still carry the past into the present, you're going to have challenges asking for what you deserve. You're going to have to asking for a commitment. You'll try and invite people to events rather than clearly defined questions that lead to the outcome you seek. You'll live in a very vague state of emotions where you don't want to push people. You don't want to bother people. You don't want to call them at the supper time, the dinner time, the time of the time. You create stories about the outcome that you should be creating. Then you avoid conflict. One of the biggest challenges of worry, guilt, and shame is conflict avoidance. Oh, I don't like conflict. I don't like confrontation. Well, first of all, conflict isn't always physical. When you're prospecting, connecting, selling, collaborating, it's typically a non-physical experience. You aren't pushing your prospects or friends around physically. You should be able to communicate and collaborate and ask questions and find out about each other. You should be able to small talk, fact find, rapport build, and create emotional experiences that are favorable to long-term relationships. But if your self-talk says, wow, I'm not good enough, the events from my past own me. I'm not separated from those past events. Those past events are me. I am one with a past event to where it's created my identity. You know, I can't really talk to those people because I'm just not that good. I'm not good enough. I mean, they're up there and I just little old me down here. You know, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. I just sort of graduated over here about 30,000-40,000 a year. I'm just tiptoeing quietly through life just trying to get by here. I just started my first business and I think I'll just go out and just share the message with a few people that won't ever do anything so I can be and stay disappointed. Unfortunately, this is common self-talk that many people talk. Your self-talk is the fundamental foundation and transformation of either letting go or staying where you are. If your self-talk isn't conducive to having self-esteem, if your self-talk is not conducive to an emotional state that's healthy, then it's an unhealthy state, sending off a mixed message that says, please show up and abandon me, please show up and reject me, please show up and violate me, please show up and leave me, please show up and disappoint me, let's have a relationship that doesn't work out so I can prove myself right. See, I knew that wouldn't work. I'm never going to enter into the garden again. Now, another phenomenon that you're going to find in your attractor factor, if you live in guilt and shame, whether it's conscious and or unconscious, you live in a past violation and or trauma, then typically what you do is you shut the window to a personality. What that typically means is that you won't attract the A-type personality or the promoter personality because you have a story about them. And it becomes relatively black and white for you. It says, wow, those people might hurt me. Those people won't join me. Those people might violate me. Those people might pick on me. And so typically what this person in guilt and shame does, it blocks out the very people that they seek to attract because of their uncomfortability with themselves, and they cast that uncomfortability out into the world, out into their neural net becomes their identity, and they cast it out in the world, and their vibration only allows them to attract other codependents, other people in guilt and shame, typically below their vibration, so they can create their disappointment. Now, the law of the lid, what does that mean? The law of the lid is typically what you unconsciously believe you're capable of attracting. So when you have low self-esteem, or you have even moderate self-esteem, and you're in the process of changing, you've been in the game a while, you're starting to become spiritual, emotional, you're starting to understand the laws of vibration, the laws of the universe, the laws of attraction, you're starting to understand the basics, but you haven't crossed over into synchronicity. Synchronicity is where, on command, there is no separation from you and the outcome. It means that you are one, you are innate, you are not separate. If you are separate, there's usually a disconnection between your emotional body and your mind. And you will live in your left brain because it's safe. It's safe. It's your analytical, egoic mind that allows you to figure out problems. The biggest problem is your problem. You spend a lot of your time not understanding your problem, intoxicating yourself in problems to be in the problem. That would be food, alcohol, drugs, anorexia, bulimia, stuff, feelings, laxatives, any multitude of situations to be and stay overwhelmed, to dupe and trick your brain into a dopamine state. That's what happens when you're addicted, because an addiction gives you an instant gratification. It gives you that ah. So what typically happens when you're an addict and you crave your addiction, what ends up happening is you crave that first shot, that first juice, because your body sinks into itself. It goes like this, ah. Now, that's a very interesting correlation, because that dopamine release you get from the initial juice that you get from that double cheeseburger that you showed, that you lied about who is sitting in the next seat. There's someone sitting in the next seat. There's no one sitting in the next seat, but you fake the voice when you're going through the drive-thru. I mean, this is the type of things addicts do. I've spent hours figuring out how I'm going to sneak alcohol in and out, the boxes in and out, the situations in and out. I mean, that's what an addict does. An addict lives in a self-talk that's conducive to staying addicted. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I can't attract good people. I don't understand why my team doesn't produce. I don't understand why this always happens to me. I don't understand. See, that's what many people do. And if you're one of these people that keeps doing the same thing over and over, wondering why this always happens to you, it's a direct reflection of your guilt and shame that you live in. Because when you can sink back into that low level of vibration, then you're right back in that identity that you grew up in. This is why success will contradict your identity. If you're a noble struggler, if you have suffered in silence, if you continue to do the same thing over and over, you're going to have a very small law of the lid, meaning you can only accede to a certain level that you can control. That's why the value of letting go of control gives you a whole different emotional space to play in. It opens up the world to you. Instead of only one or two personality types that your ego wants to control so that you can be in control of your control, that's if you're codependent. If you're codependent, there's a certain type of person you'll attract so that you can fulfill your disappointment. Really, what you're fulfilling is your story. Your story becomes your identity. Now, when you begin to change your story, when you let go of the story that you believe, and when your belief is your identity, belief means your sense of certainty. When you live in that situation that you don't know why you can't attract the type of people you require, but you're certain about attracting these one people, and you continue to attract the same situation over and over to be disappointed, I mean, this is what overwhelms you. You never really get anywhere. This is why letting go is so important. So typically what happens in guilt and shame, there's someone that's passive-aggressive in your circle of influence. They control you and guilt you or put you in a position that you have to answer, you have to validate, you have to justify your existence. It means you're a chronic explainer. And if you're one of these chronic explainers, you have one of these matriarchal mothers, or someone that was in your household that used guilt to control you, there's a high probability you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel guilty all the time. Then you use terms like eggshells and pins and needles. And you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. That's the byproduct of guilt. It means you have to say the right thing. You have to be the right person. You have to be perfect. You get overwhelmed being overwhelmed. How are you going to pull it all off in the future that never, ever happens, because you get so emotionally overwhelmed that you shut down before you start. You spend a great deal of your time getting ready to get ready, avoiding failure. You don't spend the quality time preparing yourself for success. You don't spend the quality time executing. And then one of the most important word in free enterprise escapes you, innovative. Most of society wants a frickin' recipe. They want a blueprint. They want you to tell them what to do, because in their left brain they've been told what to do. And when they've been told what to do, they can hide in guilt and shame. It means they can raise themselves a little bit above it in a job, they can mask some of their low self-esteem in a job, and they can perform to a set of rules that keeps them paid about 40 to 60 to 70 to 80,000. Yes, that is correct. I am freaking crushing it for you tonight so you understand this. The left to right method means that most of society has been conditioned to read left to right. It means you're conditioned to access your left brain first. You get rewarded for being in your left brain. It's the educational system. You end up in debt in your left brain. You get seduced into taking a college loan for your children in your left brain. It makes sense. It's logical. It's egoic. Why, of course I'll go into debt for $160,000, send a child through college for education so he won't use, so I can feel guilt and shame, overwhelmed, and paying money that doesn't exist, that I don't have, on FICA money called credit for the rest of my life at 8%. Of course that's logical and egoical. That's what I'll do to stay overwhelmed. And then when I've tiptoed quietly through life and have no money left, I'll feel even guiltier than I've been guilted into being guilty. You have to understand that guilt is one of the biggest control mechanisms, and you've been guilted a large percent of your life. You've been guilted to go to college, get a job, go into debt. You've been guilted and duped into doing situations that you don't really want to do. Then you feel resentful getting duped into saying, yes, 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 I'll do that. I'll be there. I'll set up the chairs. I'll do this. I'll do the event. I'll do the meeting. I'll drive across town, across the city, across the strait, across the country, across the ocean. Yes, 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 that is me. Delta, Delta, Delta. I'm here to help you, help you, help you. That becomes exhausting, overwhelming. It becomes, and oftentimes you do not get the recognition that you deserve. And that's another guilt situation. Many people will actually trade time for dollars, not get overtime, put in 60 to 80 hours a week for someone else, commute 2 or 3 hours in a metropolitan city, either one or two ways, have very little time to live, to enjoy, and then they can just barely get by, and then they feel resentful that they're not getting compensated for what they're worth. What's the answer? Quit. You have to step out of the hamster wheel. You have to have courage. You have to learn to address your addictions. You have to be comfortable. You have to address the cause that creates the effect. You have to have some intestinal fortitude, courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion. You have to be able to stand the gaff. And if you have a job that you can never really get around to your enterprise, well, you may have to take the leap of faith. You may have to take the risk. And other people are going to guilt you into coming back. They're going to go, bah, are you crazy? You can't leave the sheep pen. You're like us. Are you kidding me? Don't leave our pain. Stay with us. How dare you go out there on your own? How dare you show us up? Your success has a tendency and a way of showing up other people who aren't success seekers. When you have the courage to step out of the pack, people use guilt to try and control you. They'll use smart remarks. They'll use statements to see if they can provoke you. They'll put you in a position you have to validate and justify your existence. You have to learn neurologically not to relapse back into emotional state that you are justifying, validating, and explaining. And you have to let go of being able to beg and convince people. You have to stop selling the benefits and the features and learn to sell the dream. You have to access your right brain, your creative mind, your emotional side, where your extrasensory perception, your intuition, your ability to feel, not just think, your ability to feel, touch, sense. You have to be able to move into that state, in your known no state, your K-N-O-W-N, your K-N-O-W, your known no. You have to be innovative, I-N-N-O-V-A-T-I-V-E. You cannot be innovative when you're in a very low vibrational state called guilt and shame. Guilt and shame robs you of your creativity. It keeps you in a place where you're in a constant state of worry. You live in an unknown state. You live in a place where you get ready to get ready. You're not sure if you can pull it off. You worry about worry. And you're worried what happens when you let go of worry, because who would you worry about if you weren't worrying? I've actually had clients ask me, well, if I let go of my worry, how am I going to occupy my space? I mean, that becomes the preposterous zone that you live in. If you live in an overwhelmed, worried state, living in guilt and shame, you're uncomfortable with success, You have very low self-esteem. You don't feel you deserve it. You can't ask for an order, ask for a commitment, ask for seconds, ask for this, ask for a parking space, ask for directions, because you don't want to bother someone. You don't want to upset someone. You don't want to offend someone. These are the stories you tell yourself to stay overwhelmed and average. Guilt and shame leads to averageness. And if you have tiptoed quietly through life and become an average Joe, an average Jane, an average Jack, an average John, and that is you, average in your averageness, there's a high probability you probably resent other people who have had the courage to not be average. And if you're one of these people like I used to be, Jeff, with a chip on his shoulder, I had a little boulder right there on my left shoulder. I'm right-handed, and I seem to carry that chip on my shoulder. And it used to really bother me when someone relatively new would come into an organization and they would have success. Well, I wasn't getting the love. I wasn't getting the recognition. I wasn't getting the rewards because I didn't earn it. You're not entitled to success. You have to achieve success. Achievement Mastermind Group. You want to be able to surround yourself with a group of like-minded entrepreneurs who do not live in guilt and shame, who live in a higher vibrational state called love, joy, enlightenment, awareness. When you want to be able to attract these kinds of people to your reality, that's contradictory. You can't attract prosperity from poverty. When you are living in guilt and shame, you're in an impoverished emotional state. You're coming from a very low bank account of energy. You're not emotionally available. You are separate. So the only other type of people you can attract are separate seekers. You'll attract to your reality the same kind of people that separate themselves from the people who are spiritual, emotional, and having a good time in life. You want to have a bad time. You got to be over here being dysfunctional, being disappointed, being addicted, wondering why you do what you do, why no one's giving you love, no one's giving you recognition, no one's giving you the reward. To be able to raise the stakes, you got to raise the level of your energy. You have to be able to come from a different level of sexual transmutation. Not sexuality, sex energy. There's a huge difference. It's not about being sexual, it's about being emotional. Being able to transmute your sexual energy from your diaphragm, from your groin, from your abdomen, from that place where your vibrational, emotional, etheric energy is, where your DNA, your juice, your swag, the goods are. Not from your logical, egoic mind where you stay in your head trying to figure it out, exhausting yourself, being exhausted, worrying about your worrying how you're going to control the control that keeps you out of control, not being successful. Why do you spend so much time worrying? I don't know. I worry about my worrying. Why do you really worry? Ask yourself, what's the value of worrying? Why do you worry? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Who am I going to be? What am I going to wear? What am I going to ask? How am I going to do this? How's this going to do? How do I get leads? Stop asking how questions and ask why. Why do I do? Develop your why. You have to have a why larger than your what. Spend less time on what and how, more time on why. Read Simon Sinek's great book, Begin With Why. He breaks it down about how to be innovative. Innovation is creativity. If you're not creative, then you're logical, analytical, egoic. You rely on other people. You have to learn to rely on yourself. I am me. I am free. I am one with. I am innate. I have extrasensory perception. I sense. I feel. I taste. I'm emotional. I'm an emotional, spiritual being. When you come from that type of power, then you're not disempowered. When you are separate, you're in a very low emotional state in the emotional tank. Oh, my God, I'm having a bad day. I can't believe how my body looks. This is ridiculous. I can't believe I relapsed last night. When you get guilted into eating, many people will guilt you into a relapse. I've had numerous clients and friends say to me, oh, my God, I went to your seminar Saturday. It was freaking fantastic, dude, and then you wouldn't believe what happened. I met my mom. We went to a mall. We were in a candy store, and my mom said, you can't have this candy. Well, that pissed me off, and what I did is I said, I'll show you. I'll eat that candy, too. And then what happens? You go over the cliff, and once you go over that cliff, there's no stopping when you're in an addict. That is called a full-fledged binge, and it's very common that shows up with food. I can't believe I ate that. Well, you have to be able to eat smaller portions. You have to change your identity with your addiction. You have to be able, now this is where separate becomes important. You be able to separate yourself from the feelings that led your addiction. You have to be able to separate yourself and change your identity with your addiction. I had to change my story about alcohol. Alcohol wasn't fun. Alcohol wasn't happy hour any longer. Alcohol wasn't white burgundies and great champagne. Alcohol became pop-off vodka, lots of it and frequently. Alcohol became hangovers and alcohol poisoning. Alcohol eventually became delirium tremors. Alcohol led me to jail, prison. Alcohol led me to the gutter. Alcohol led me into being homeless. Alcohol led me to my parents' couch. Alcohol led me to reality. Alcohol led me to rock bottom. That became reality for me. And when the pain was great enough, that's when I decided I could let go. That's a very overrated, aggravated state to become transparent, genuine, and authentic. When you let go of the lies, the lie that you tell yourself, when you let go of the stories, when you let go of the guilt and shame, when you let go of the events, when you let go of the matriarchal grandmothers and mothers that guilt you into cleaning your plate, when you let go of the matriarchal grandmothers that guilt you into dominating your life and your household, when you let go of these people in your circle of influence that use guilt to control you, then you use guilt to be controlled, and then you resent being controlled because you're being guilted. This is when guilt and resentment become one energy. Then you live in that state. You live in an emotional, overwhelmed, unresolved anger state, some place between guilt and resentment. It's one of the most overwhelming, disempowered state to be in. And I guarantee if food's going to be prevalent, barbiturates and amphetamines are going to be prevalent, alcohol is going to be prevalent, gambling can show up, any multitude of situations to be in, stay disappointed, be in an impoverished state, have no money. And this is oftentimes what many people do. They'll start to be prosperous and they're so uncomfortable. They're guilty about money, yet guilty isn't money. Money isn't guilty about you. They're so guilty about money. What are other people going to think? What are other people going to do? That they find ways to sabotage it, give it away, lose it, start over, hit rock bottom, be in bad relationships, and perpetuate the same situation over and over to be and stay guilty. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This is content from my upcoming book, The Anger Factor, that will be available in the first half of 2015. This will not be a self-titled book or self-published book. This will be a book that we'll be buying in a bookstore. So I'm looking very forward to being able to bring more of this content to you in free enterprise. Now, next week, I'm going to have some follow-up content on unresolved anger so you can have a better understanding of cause and effect, why you do what you do, why you get frustrated, why you stay procrastinating, why you have challenges articulating your words into feelings, why you can't get the words out, why you stay perfect, why you stay in control. This call will be available by 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 12 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. One more time, if you are serious about hiring your coach, you're contemplating, thinking about it, evaluating it, too guilty to pull the trigger, too resentful to go out and find the way to get the money, or any multitude of emotional state, call me, ASAP 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. My present rates will be what they are until the end of the year, December 31st. Thank you, everyone. This call is officially a call. I look forward to connecting with you on tonight's call at Breakthroughs to Success this Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday in the San Joaquin Valley of Stockton, California. Saturday, December 20th, is the All She Wrote event. That will be the Scottsdale event in Arizona. Thank you very much, everyone, and you have a great evening.